chapter 6, verse 10, and we'll start right here. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We're going to stop reading right there with that 20th verse. Our thought, or our subject for a little while this morning, is simply this: preparing for spiritual warfare. Preparing for spiritual warfare. Now, I guess this week, and I was thinking about it, and I did catch a little bit of the remembrance of the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And I know that some folks, you may not know that, and some probably have a better understanding of that than I do. But this is a day that the order was given, I guess, part of our largest, as far as naval, not only land but air attack that there's ever been on the beaches of Normandy. And the reason for that is the Allied forces, and a lot of the forces came from the United States. The majority, super majority of the men came from the United States. And this is whenever there was a force of evil, being Hitler, who was head of Germany, Mussolini, who was head of Italy at that time, and then the guy from Japan, started with an H. I can't remember his name right now, and that's not important. But the Allied forces, led by the United States, went into a great battle, and that was kind of a turning point, is that war lasted from 1939 to 1945, World War II. And so there was a great battle, and there was a lot of preparation. If you go and you read and study about this, and there was a man by the name of Dwight D. Eisenhower who started preparing for that raid on Normandy that happened in 1944, but he started doing those preparations in 1943. It was quite a bit of time a year earlier there. And so, of course, Dwight D. Eisenhower would go on to be the 34th president of the United States as well. But as we think about this and about preparation, and there had to be a lot of preparation that was done for whenever they stormed the beaches of Normandy and parachuted that day out of the plains, and preparing for spiritual warfare. Now, that was a physical battle. That was a natural battle. And unfortunately, there's still those battles that go on today, and there probably always will. But just as there is a physical battle that goes on, I want you to know that there is a spiritual battle going on today. And we need to be preparing. We need to be making preparation. And that's what we should be doing every time, every day that we can, making ourselves ready. That's just what preparation means, is to make yourself ready. And so as we think about this, and we think about those men, Mussolini, Hitler, Hirato, I think was his name. I'm sorry, you'll have to look that one up. H-I-R-O-H-I-T-O or something like that. But anyway, these were evil men. And the Bible actually says, I just read to you a verse right here. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are still spiritually wicked people in high places today. We may not realize it. We may not think there's a Hitler or a Mussolini or maybe even a Saddam Hussein or a bin Laden or any of these type of people, but you would be surprised who it might be actually. But there are wickedness in spiritual high places today. Now, the one that's got the orchestra going or the leader of the orchestra, that's Satan. And Satan wants to attack our country, and he wants to, in every possible way, he wants to hinder God's cause. And so it's important for us that every day that we prepare as far as for this spiritual wickedness, God can do that as far as on an individual level to you, or he can do it to a church, or he can do it to a country. And so that's why we have to prepare. Now, the number one thing that we've got to do to prepare is we got to recognize that we have an enemy. Dwight D. Eisenhower, he recognized that there was an enemy. And also the president at that time, Truman. Now, let me go over to 1 John chapter 3 and just read a verse of scripture there. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And I want you to see that there is an enemy. And you're probably already ahead of me and you know who the enemy is. But there is an enemy. In 1 John 3 and 8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now the word devil is mentioned three times in this verse. Now, the devil is your enemy. If you think that you don't have an enemy today, and maybe you don't naturally speaking have an enemy, but I want you to know spiritually speaking, whether you're lost, you have an enemy. If you don't know the Lord and you don't have a relationship with the Lord, the devil is going to do everything in his power to deceive you and to keep you from getting saved. You say, how do you know that, Brother David? I experienced that myself. And I'm sure all of these good people in here that have been saved by the grace of God would tell you the very same thing, that Satan tried to hinder them and do his best to keep them from being saved. He did me. Now, he never did tell me, you're not going to be saved. You know what he kept telling me? Well, you'll be saved later. That's how cunning that he is. Now, after you get saved, I want you to know you still have a spiritual enemy. The devil in John 8 and 44, it tells us that the devil or Satan, it says he is the father of lies. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. And it says right here in this scripture that he sinned from the beginning. Satan, he'll try everything in his power, whether you're a young person at school or whether you're older like some of us and you're out in the workforce, or even I don't care if you're retired. I don't care what age it is, Satan is continually going to try to attack you on an individual level, and he's going to try to bring you down. It was mentioned in Sunday school, somebody was talking about hope, that it didn't seem like there's a lot of hope in the world today. And you know who wants to put that out there and project that people believe there is no hope and this world is just doomed? Is Satan. He is the enemy. We're in this spiritual warfare, and we've got to prepare for this enemy. And number one, you do that by getting saved. But even after you get saved, James 4 and 7 tells us to what? To submit yourselves to God. And if you resist submit yourself to God, then what does it say that later on in that verse? It's about resisting the devil. So if you'll surrender to God in your life, and you do that one by getting saved, but even after you get saved, we still have to surrender our will to God's will. If we'll surrender our will to God's will, he's going to help us to resist the devil. And in what the last part of James 4 and 7, it said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and it says what? He will flee from you. Now, I want you to understand this morning, that devil, he is a very powerful enemy. You will not be able to resist the devil with your own accord, with your own power. It's impossible. You say, Brother David, I'm a pretty strong guy. Or some of you ladies, you know, you're in athletics. You think, boy, I'm very athletic. I can resist it. I've got a lot of power. Let me tell you, against the devil, none of us. I don't care who the greatest athlete in the world you may think that is, whether that's Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, whoever it is, whoever you believe the greatest athlete in the world is, they are nothing and have no power compared to the devil and compared to Satan. So if you're going to prepare for this spiritual warfare, you've got to realize that there is an enemy out there, and his name is the devil, his name is Satan, and he wants to bring you down, and he doesn't want you to thrive spiritually. Even Jesus said over in Matthew, I think it was around chapter 16, verse 22 or 3, what did he say? Get thee behind thee, Satan. Jesus said that. So if Jesus himself, who is our role model and the one that we're to be like, if Jesus himself said that in the scriptures for Satan to get thee behind thee, certainly you and I on a daily basis, we're going to have to say that. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's been some days, it seems like from the very morning that I awoke, from the very evening before I laid my head down to bed, I've been saying, I don't know how many times, Satan get thee behind thee. Because it seems like I've been in a spiritual battle all day long. And that's how some days are going to go. Now, if we will resist the devil and we know that we're in a spiritual battle and we begin to prepare, we'll have those things that Paul spoke about there in Ephesians. And I'll go back to that in just a moment. But I want us to see that our enemy is Satan, and that he is a very prideful. That's why he was cast out of heaven, because of his pride. But he's a liar. He is a deceiver. The Bible talks about in Peter how that he's like a roaring lion. And you know what he's wanting to do? It says, seeking whom he may devour. If that doesn't get it over to you this morning, that Satan would just like to totally destroy your life, I don't know what will. And this is from the Word of God. This is not what I'm telling you. This is from the Word of God. He is going to try to tempt you. Even the Bible talks about it. He is a murderer. This is who Satan is. And so that's why we have to prepare spiritually for this battle that we're in. This church has set aside a whole week next month, about 30 days, a little bit more than 30 days, to have a revival. What's the purpose in that? It's for God's people to draw closer to Him. It's for God's people to uplift and praise Him and worship Him. That's what we do every Sunday morning as well. Really, most every time we come out to God's house. And it's also to provide an opportunity and cultivate an environment where lost people, that, and hopefully we'll be inviting them in, and they will be coming in, and that they'll hear the Word of God, they'll hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and then God's Spirit's going to do all the rest. God's Spirit will go out and convict and draw them to an altar of repentance. But we can't wait till July the 14th before we're preparing. We've got to be preparing for this spiritual battle now. Because just like on Sunday morning, it seems like now, again, there's hindrances to me every day in my life, but it seems like on Sunday morning that there is, you know, this car is going to pull right out in front of me, and it's going to make me, you know, just be right on time or late. I mean, it's just amazing how the shower won't work, or there's just something, whatever it is, there's just hindrances that help us, especially those who are younger kids, and you're like, I just can't get everybody ready to come out to God's house. I mean, it's not an accident that happens. Satan is going to try everything in his power to provide every hindrance and every way that you should say, I just should give up and just not even go today. That's why I say it's okay if you're a little late. Because that's all right. God has got a blessing for you. And God wants to do that. But Satan, he is an enemy. And he is going to try to hinder you. And he's going to try to not just hinder you. But what he wants to do is defeat you in this battle. Now, the victory has already been won. Jesus died on the cross. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you have experienced that victory. But there's also one of the fruit of the Spirit called joy. And God, I'm fully persuaded that God wants us to experience joy along our journey here in this life. He doesn't want it to be all heartache and pain. We have enough of that. And Satan causes a lot of those things. But as we read, and let me just read a little bit further. I didn't read all of this right here. In John, 1 John 3, it says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." I did read verse 8. I'll go to verse 9. "Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And this children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness, not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Now, what does that mean? Somebody says, "Well, Brother David, I commit sin." And this says right here, "Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin." Now, what that's talking about is your spirit. God saves your soul. He doesn't save this flesh. Now, this soul right here will not sin. After you've been saved by the grace of God, it has been sealed with a stamp from the Lord. You can read that about that in Ephesians chapter 1. It's been sealed. This soul will not sin. Now, our natural man will sin. And that's what's wrong with the world today, is that the devil, who is, the Bible talks about, who is the prince of this world, there are so many people that are lost. There are more lost people than saved. And that's a whole nother message about the straight and the narrow versus the broad way that leads to destruction. But I don't want you to go away from here miscalculated this morning and be misled in any way that there are more lost people out there than saved people in this world today. That's just the facts. But that is important to know, that we're in this spiritual battle and that God wants to use us. He wants to use us to be of service to him. Now, let me turn to Romans real quick. Romans chapter 7, I believe it is. Romans chapter 7. And there's a few verses of scripture. And this is one of the greatest soldiers there were in the world. And this is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, after he got saved, I mean, he surrendered his life to the Lord in his service. And listen what the Apostle Paul says right here in verse 20. He says, "Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Paul is telling us right here, I'm saved. I am a child of God. But yet, I am still alive. And he says, I'm struggling with sin. Now, if the Apostle Paul admits this to, again, inspired by God, I know. But still, the Apostle Paul right here, he is talking about, I am struggling with this sinful nature. Well, if Paul struggled with it, does it not make sense that you and I are going to struggle today? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And so we're always going to have, even though at our conversion, and we're born again by the Spirit of God, and we have this Holy Spirit that desires to lead us to do that which is right. That's what he's talking about right here. He says, I delight in the law of God. And so we've got this spirit that whenever we're saved, the justification process happens. We're justified by the blood of the Lamb. But still, the moment we're saved to the moment we leave this world, you know what process, and that's another message too, we're always going through the process of sanctification. And what that means is that we've been set apart. And that's not anything we should take pride in or pat ourselves on the back. But God has justified us. He saved our soul when we're born again. And then we're living each day as a saved individual. You're going through this process of sanctification where He's drawing you closer to Him. And then, boy, the final thing is me. When we get that new body, there's going to be glorification. Glorification. All of this that God blesses us with. But as we go through these stages till we get to the glorification, it's a battle. And I don't want you to underestimate that. It is a battle in your life. It is a warfare. It is a spiritual warfare to do these things which are good. And the Apostle Paul reiterates that to us right here in the 7th chapter of Romans. Now, let me go back to Ephesians, because I don't want you to say, well, this sounds bleak. This sounds bleak this morning. We're in this spiritual battle, and it sounds like the enemy, he's powerful and he's going to overtake us. Well, God knew that we would be in a spiritual battle forever. How many days are numbered, ever how many years, how many moons that we see on this earth. God knew that we were in this battle. And so He has equipped us. How did He equip us? Verse 13, back in Ephesians chapter 6, He says, "Take you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." God wants us to stand firm, and we can. As individuals, as Crossroads Church, we can stand firm this morning. Not because of anything we've done, but it's all because of God. Now, what does He give us to help us to stand in a world full of turmoil and in a world that is full of evil? Let's just call it like it is. It's an evil world. Well, the first thing in verse 14, He says here, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." He gives us a belt of truth. A belt of truth. Now, remember, the enemy is who? The father of lies. And then what does Jesus say that he is in John chapter 14? I'll just turn there and read it for you. John chapter 14, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by me." Satan, I want to use my left hand. Satan is the father of lies. Jesus is the truth. Boy, that's just as clear as this divide this morning. Now, I'm not talking about y'all are liars over here. I didn't mean that when I said my left hand. I'm just always used to the goats and the sheep. Everybody will be sitting over here the next Sunday, won't they? Didn't mean it like that. But the baseline and the foundation is truth. It's truth. And so as we fight this battle, and we're in this battle, as we fight it, everything in our life, the very basis of it, the very foundation is truth. And if we don't have truth in our lives, we will lose the battle. We will lose. And Satan, that's why he wants to make, you know, you hear about things black and white, and you can't get into this gray area. Satan would love for you to live in the gray area. You know why? Because you can't distinguish them between what's right and what's wrong. But God's word tells us, and we've got this personal relationship with the Lord. You know, we sang about this song, or we sang this hymn about my God is real and He's real in my soul. See, we know that truth. We know that's the basis. And just as much as Satan is a lie, and I already told you, whenever I was young and I first come under conviction, it was not that Satan told me, you're not going to get saved. It was like, you can be saved later on. You're too young right now. You can be saved later on in your life. That's what he told me. And it was a lie. You know why? Because I might not have lived to that period of time. I might not have. That's how Satan works. He is a deceiver and a liar, and that's why we have to prepare spiritually. And the number one way we prepare is God gives us this belt of truth. And that basis and that foundation of our life, we build everything upon that. Now, The second thing he mentioned there, I guess it was in verse 15 back in Ephesians, was a breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. If you take a pistol and you're going to shoot, probably more than likely you're going to be trying to shoot right here. Why? Because it's going to take them out or kill them. Shooting for the heart. You got to have a heart to live. That blood ain't pumping, you ain't living. Well, also right here, out of our heart, God wants our heart, he wants it to be pure. He wants it to be sincere. And so that's why Satan, he's going to throw all the darts that he can, and that's why we have to have this breastplate of righteousness. It's protection. Just like the belt of truth, this breastplate of righteousness, this is protection for us. As we go out in this world every day and we're engaged in this warfare. See, we study God's truth, we study God's word, and then we obey God's word on a daily basis. We apply it in our lives, and sometimes we're going to struggle with being obedient. And the devil knows that. That's why he's going to continue to tempt us. But that's why we hold to this belt of truth and this breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is just a fancy word for goodness and doing that which is good. And so we hold to that. Now, let me turn back to Ephesians chapter 3 and see what number 3 is here. It tells us in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, when I was young, I don't do this anymore. I take that back. I don't want to lie. I do sometimes. I run out of the house because I've done it here in the last few weeks. I didn't do it yesterday. But I'll run out real quick, and I've got a pea gravel driveway. Well, pea gravel, if it's hot especially, it can hurt your feet. I mean, you can cut, and then there's some rocks right there in a little flower bed, and sometimes I'm going to the water hose, and I step, and it's just like, oh, man, that hurt. Why did I not have some shoes on? Well, spiritually speaking, we need some shoes on in our life to protect us from elements or landmines that may be out there. And so God gives us this feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, Satan would love nothing more than in your life just all the time to have turmoil. I don't know of anybody that's ever I've come across in my life in sitting down with them that they just want to have a life full of turmoil. They really don't. Everybody wants peace. They really do. And so God, in trying to defend us and help us in this spiritual warfare, he tells us right here, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so God, he wants us to have this peace where we're not worried that we might step out and hit something that would harm us. Maybe there's a landmine that's out there in the military when they are in war. What does the enemy try to do? It tries to plant explosives. And if you're not careful and you walk and you'll step down, I mean, it can harm you in a great way. That's exactly what Satan wants us to do in our life. He wants to harm us. And God loves us so much, and he gives us all of these things, this armor of God, to help us in this spiritual battle. He doesn't want us to hurt our foot. He doesn't want us to blow a leg off or anything like that. God loves us, and so he gives us this beautiful armor of God. One, the belt of truth. Two, the breastplate of righteousness. Three, this feet shod with the preparation of peace. Next, he gives us what it says right here, the shield of faith. Taking that shield of faith. Now again, we have to have a shield, and it's important because it says, why? On having this shield of faith, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Don't think that Satan's not going to be throwing darts at you, because he is. Matter of fact, there's a verse of scripture in Romans, and it's talking about faith in Romans 10 and 17. It says, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As Satan is throwing those darts at you, and he's wanting to hit you, he's wanting to injure you, it's important that you have your shield of faith out there to fight those off on a daily basis. Because if you don't, what's going to happen? You're going to be attacked. You're going to be hit. And there's going to be some dart that hits you. And then guess what? You're not going to experience that love and joy and peace in your life. All of those attributes are characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Because why? Satan, number one, he doesn't want you to be worshiping God. He doesn't want you to be praising God. He doesn't want you to have a chaotic, free life. Satan does not want that for you. He really doesn't. Satan wants you to absolutely to destroy you. So that's why we have to prepare and we have to put on this armor of God that God has given us. And I know we're playing defense with a lot of this armor of God, like a shield of faith. But sometimes defense wins championships. And so we have to have that defense. We have to have that shield of faith out there. And I want to tell you, you need to have your shield of faith up. Don't let your shield of faith, don't be caught with your hands down. Because that's exactly the time when Satan, who is cunning and who is a deceiver, will try to attack you when your shield is down. Because he wants to. He wants to win this spiritual battle. He wants to penetrate your mind. You know, it talks about this helmet of salvation, the next armor of God there. Again, this is very important. You've got to have this helmet of your salvation. You've got to be thinking about those things that are good. You know, salvation, you've got to have this in the forefront. Why? The Bible says God's ways are greater than our ways. God's thoughts are greater than our thoughts. You know what, Satan, if he can get control of your mind and make you think all of these bad things, all of these evil things, that all of these things are just going to happen to you and your life is no good, there's nothing in your life that's good, your life is just totally in disarray, if Satan can get that planted in there, he's got you almost defeated. And that's why it's so important as we're in this spiritual battle. And actually, it's just the very next, 12th chapter of Romans. It's right here. It says this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? Now, listen to this part right here. This is important. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. See, that's why Satan would love to have control of your mind. And he can't get your soul, but he can get all of these natural parts. And if he can get your mind in thinking you're no good, you're defeated, you're not going to win this battle. How much of an influence can we be for God? If you're defeated and if you're a child of God and you think there's no hope, it's no good for me to go ask John if he's going to come to church this week. It's no good if I'm going to go ask Sarah to come to revival. If you feel like you're defeated and you're not even asking and not even inviting people, Satan's got you just in the seat that he wants you to be. It's called the seat of discontentment, the seat of defeatism. That you're defeated. But see, what does God tell us, right? See, God wants us to what? It said in verse 12 about living a holy life. See, God wants you to experience His holiness here on earth. Now, again, the great holiness is going to go when we get to heaven. Everything's going to be perfect. But God wants us to what? Sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus while we are here on this earth. That's in the scripture, folks. That's back there in Ephesians in chapter 2. This is not David's words. Those are God's words. He wants us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. God wants you to be a winner. And you're not going to be a winner separated from God. You've got to be right there joined to the hip with Him. That's how you're going to be the winner and how you're going to overcome. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Prove which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, you can have good thoughts. You can have good intentions and be want to be obedient to God. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us that we need to have the mind of Christ. I believe that's in Philippians chapter 2, it says that. To have the mind of Christ. You say, well, that sounds impossible. It won't be if we try to seek wisdom from God and not knowledge from this world. There's a difference. Seeking out wisdom from God versus the knowledge of this world. Big difference. But God help us as we prepare for this spiritual battle, that we put on all of these different elements of this armor of God right here. And then he says, now all the different ones I've mentioned to you, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. I said all those are defensive, aren't they? Those are defensive pieces of armor. Then he gives us something to go on offense with. And I know everybody'd rather play offense than defense. You'd rather hit and catch a ball. You'd rather shoot than play defense in basketball. You'd rather throw the ball or run the ball in football versus going and tackling. But here we finally get to play offense. After the helmet of salvation, verse 17, he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is our tool to play offense on right here. You go out in this world. Oh, what an offensive weapon it is, too. You take the good news. You take this scripture right here. And you do witness to people. And you do tell people about Jesus. And then he says also in verse 18, we have another tool, prayer. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, the devil is the one that wants to trip us up and to cause us to be defeated. But God wants us to win this battle. And the victory's been won. I know the big ultimate victory. The war's been won. Because Jesus went and died on the cross for our sins. And if you've been saved, the victory's been won. But just because the ultimate victory has been won doesn't still mean that we don't need to be engaged in battle today. I think we forget that sometimes. Or we think it's too hard. We don't want to suffer like the Apostle Paul did. Or we don't want to suffer like those in the Trail of Blood did. God help us to be submissive. God help us to surrender to His will. Because we can win this spiritual battle if we are prepared. And the only way that we're going to be prepared is following God's written law and doing all these things right here. Again, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, praying with all prayer. Those are the two offensive weapons we have. God help us to use those. And the last thing I would say is go win the week. Go win the week. I'm not telling you just to go, all right, go be a winner in life, because you're going to get defeated sometimes. There's 7 days if God allows us this week. You may only win 4. There may be 3 that you do get defeated. But look at it like this. If there's 7 days a week and God allowed you to win the 4 out of the 7, you won the majority. And you have the greatest victory by being saved as a child of God. Now, if you're here this morning as we get a song, and God's the one, we just give an opportunity. God's the one that gives the invitation. If you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know the Lord and you don't have this relationship with Him, and you're like, I don't understand all of this about the battle, and I don't understand about fighting the devil and all of this. Maybe you've not come to that age of accountability yet. Because I'm going to tell you, when you come to that time of knowledge or age of accountability, whenever the Holy Spirit start dealing with you, you'll feel like you're losing. You'll know that. You have that heaviness. You have that burden. You have that spiritual ache. You'll know that you're losing. and you know that you need to get relief. And whenever that happens for you, and again, I don't know anybody's condition. I certainly don't know when somebody's lost. That's between them and God. But whenever God shows you that you don't have that peace, and you don't have this unction as far as fighting in this battle. See, whenever that's the beautiful part about being a child of God. You can go days and you feel like three or four, and you can feel like, I'm just losing. I'm just losing this battle. But yet, being a child of God, you can be down on your knees, you can be in tears, you can just be hurting, even physical and spiritually, you can be hurting. You can even get to the point you don't know what to pray for. But then the Holy Spirit of God comes on the scene, and you really get in touch with God, and that Holy Spirit just yearns, and it gives you utterance. And finally, you find relief, and you find peace. That's what you're needing here today if you're lost and without God, and if God is showing you that. Go win the battle this week. That's our message. So we have this song.